Can we just talk about how cute that was? I mean, oh man, Mitch is my favorite. I didn't say that. Heavenly Father, I just come to you now, Lord, to just thank you for the time that we have together, Lord. We thank you for this church and the pastor, Lord. We pray for a safe return and that he will just have a relaxing and just good time, God, and that he will come regenerated and just ready to speak your word, God. I pray for understanding of this message, Lord. I pray for your wisdom and your spirit's guidance over me, God. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth, Lord, will be your words, God. I pray that they will receive what you have told me to tell them, God. In your heavenly name, Lord, amen. Good morning. Are we having a great day so far? So today I am speaking about one of Jesus' parables, the lost son. We will be in Luke 15:11-31. I'm not going to read it all at once because I'm going to be like stop and go, explaining a little bit here and explaining a little bit there. What I like about this story is we all identify with this lost son. Some of you may be thinking, whoa, Kyle, not me. I do not identify with this guy. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but you do. We all had to come to Jesus in our lives here, and sooner or later. We weren't born saved. We weren't born Christians. We all had to give our lives to Jesus at some point. And before that point, we were this lost son. When Jesus was telling this parable, Jesus was in a Pharisee's house. A Pharisee was a religious leader that took advantage of his religious privileges. Someone who took advantage of their knowledge to condemn people. I'm going to ask this question. Do we know anyone like that? Because let me tell you, there are Pharisees that still walk among us today. They like to take the word of God and twist it to something that fits them and their needs, or fits them and the way they want to speak, or fits them and lets them do what they want. My favorite thing that I hear a non-believer say, God will let me do what I want because he wants me to be happy. Let me tell you all something right now. God will not have your happiness over his word. Because his word is law. His word is designed to bring us happiness. He designed us for our happiness to come from him. Not for our happiness to come from ourselves. So I'm going to start reading. Luke 11:15-11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." That happened so fast. In my mind, I'm thinking, man, if I just asked my dad for all the stuff, would he just give it to me right now? Not say anything, just write the check. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The son took everything that he had, that his father, and had everything he already had, and what his father gave him. So he took his MacBook Pro, he took his iPad, he took his iPod, his iPhone, he took all his eyes. And then he also took everything his father gave him. So it was clear that he wasn't coming back. We as humans, we run all the time. We run from our problems. I do it a lot. I mean, shoot, I spilled my lunch in the parking lot and I quit my job. At least that's what my stepdad thinks, but we have a bad day and we're just like, I had it, I'm going to bed, I'm taking a nap. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I have this friend, we made up this plan that if life doesn't work out the way we want it to, we are going to jump on a plane, leave all our student loans, leave all our cars, everything, go to another country and become bartenders and learn those cool tricks and live in this big house, adopt all these children, and just be done with the world. Let me tell you, I want to flee all the time and go to Hawaii. I mean, I've never been there, but the Lilo and Stitch make it look amazing. Now I'm at Luke 15:17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." So I want to talk about that sentence right there. How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Let's talk about his father real fast. There's a lot right there in that message that even the servants, their servants, they were the low of the low, had food to spare. This father was so generous that he even paid his servants well. They were apparently known to have so much food that I guess maybe it went to waste. Let me tell you, in my house, food does not go to waste. If we don't like it, we eat it anyways. I'm just kidding. I'm pretty picky. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and went to his father. So he came to his senses. Think about that. How many of us does it take for us to come to our senses? Have you ever been doing something one way, you're doing it, you're doing it, you're doing it, it's not working, it's not working. So you do it some more. You're doing it, you're doing it, you're doing it, it's not working, it's not working. And finally the light bulb comes on and you're like, oh, let me read the directions to putting this playset together. Well, sooner or later, we have to become saved. We gotta become saved to go to heaven. You can't just be a good person. Because let me tell you, there are gonna be good people in hell. There really are. Because there are some amazing people out there. Sandra Bullock, I love her. She's amazing. I don't know if she's saved or not. If she's not, she's going to hell. Sorry to say it. One of my friend's grandfathers died. I knew he wasn't saved, but he was an awesome person. I mean, I believe he's in hell because he wasn't saved. We have to come to our senses. We must recognize our wrongdoings. We must humbly return to our Father as the Son is returning to his Father. He's not just planning on going to the farm or the estate, wherever he's going, swinging open the door. "Daddy, I'm home. Give me all my, I want my room back. I want my robes. I want my jewels. I want everything back. Accept me as your son." No. He's humbling himself. His plan is to go back to his father and beg and plead and say, "Hire me on as one of your servants. let me work for you. I'm poor, I'm starving, I'm hungry. He probably smelled. They didn't have running water then. And he's going to humble himself. I couldn't do that. I couldn't ask my father to give me everything that he has, half of that belongs to me. Well, in my case, three. So, be flipped, whatever, I don't know math. I couldn't go back to him. Shoot, I'd rather starve than let my father look down on me with pity. Because I'm a stubborn-headed person. What does it take for us as a church to come back to our senses? Hear me again. What does it take for us as a church to come back to our senses? Because let me tell you right now, us coming on just Wednesday and Sunday, going through the motions, praising God, sitting in our chairs, listening to an amazing sermon by Pastor Phil, praying, thinking, oh, Monday I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then you wake up, take a shower, go to work, wait till Wednesday, and that's when you pray again. Church, we need to wake up. We need to become volunteers. We need to spread the word. If you're comfortable right now, you're not doing it right. Because let me tell you, this church is not going to grow unless we work together. Not just one or two people can grow a church. It takes us all. We have to jump feet first into our community. Jesus has entrusted us Christians with the world to spread his word. It is our job. It is our right to spread the word of God. We have to live the Christian lifestyle. So what I say by that is not like doing your best to understand God's word, doing your best to live like Jesus. If we truly want to live the Christian lifestyle, it's spreading the word of God. Inviting people to church, asking people to pray for them. If you get that voice in the back of your mind saying, hey, pray for them, do it. Don't just, they'll be okay, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, walking through the store. It might be someone you never met before. I mean, every time I drive past an accident, I pray right there and then. Because, I mean, it's my duty. How do I not know that my prayer right there could have saved someone's life? Prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer warriors. Let me tell you, I've known some great ones in my life. My grandmother, biggest prayer warrior in the entire world. Me and my mom have this joke that she has a direct line to God. She just picks up the phone and he does what she tells her. I know it doesn't work like that. But prayer is the most important thing in your life. That is your direct thing to God. The veil was torn, people. It was torn. We must love ourselves. Now, some of you may be thinking, no. You gotta love others. Oh, absolutely. But if you don't love yourself first, how are you going to love others? It's like when a plane's going down. Lord forbid, because I'm getting on a plane tomorrow. So when the mask comes down, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to put it on yourself first before you put it on your child or your parents or, I don't know, the pilot. If you don't put your mask on first, you're going to pass out. You can't help others unless you help yourself. If you aren't spiritually strong, how are you going to strengthen others? Iron sharpens iron. So, let's think about this. If we want our church to grow, the first step is to love yourself. Get strong. Put on the armor of God. Second step, love others. Encourage each other within the church. Third step, volunteer. Actually, the first step should be volunteer, because let me tell you, if you're not a strong Christian, the best way to become saved, the best way to strengthen your personal relationship with God is other Christians. Get plugged in. Volunteer. Our big giveaway in December. Volunteer. Throughout the church, if the church needs cleaned, help clean it. If one of your church family members need help fixing something, help them fix it. Hang out with each other. Worship together. Have Bible studies. Let me tell you, Bible studies can be the most fun. It may not seem like it at first, but once that you dive in and you're talking about the Word of God, then you're telling jokes and you're just, and you're just with each other, when two or more are gathered, He is present. Come to your senses, church. Come to your senses. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattest calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The son knew what he did was wrong. Church, do we know what we do is wrong? Think, when you blow through a stop sign, do you really think, "Oh crap, that was actually really wrong of me"? I mean, technically it is a sin. Obey the laws of the land. I mean, in our minds, we think there's big sins and little sins. Little white lies that we tell ourselves sometimes. There's no measure on sin, I tell you. God's going to look at you the same way he looks at a murderer, which kind of sucks, because in our mind, we can't fathom that. But in God's mind, he sees us as the same as his children that he loves. But our Father still has compassion for us. In the story, the son was a long way off. And the father saw him and started running to him, threw his arms around him, hugged him, kissed him. When we give our lives to God, the Bible says there is a celebration like no other in heaven, that there are feasts in our honor. This is kind of what is explaining to him. No matter what we do, God's compassion is for us. One thing my sister-in-law says all the time, she jokes around, but I take it serious. She says, people should go to prison more. That's where they find Jesus. That's where Jesus is at. He's in prison. And in my mind, I'm thinking, dude, you think that's a joke, but now that you said that, that kind of makes sense. When people, it's sad sometimes because some people that need to be saved, they wait till they're completely broken, till they hit rock bottom. Let me tell you, Jesus loves that. I mean, not to be cruel, it's not like he's hoping you hit rock bottom till you come to him, but whatever gets you to him. If I got to hit rock bottom, let me hit rock bottom, because let me tell you, the only way is up through is through Christ. His compassion for us is amazing. Let me say that one more time. His compassion for us is amazing. His grace is amazing. Because we could do anything. I'm not giving you permission. So don't go out there speeding and everything. But we could do anything. So I'm going to finish up real fast. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattest calf because he has come back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never give me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So when I was reading this, I'm thinking, why didn't Jesus just end it? End the story, end the parable. Why do we have to know that the brother was mad? Church, have you ever become jealous of another Christian? Have you ever become jealous of someone else's ministry or jealous of the blessings someone has given? Because let me tell you, I know it's in my future, especially with the youth ministry, wondering, wait a second, I'm doing all the same things as this other church, but they have 200 kids and I have 12. Why is that? We may think, wait a second, Pastor Phil's better than the pastor at James River, but we're just a congregation of 100 and that's a congregation of thousands. What's going on? Why are we getting the short stick? That's what's going on here. The son is furious. He never asked his father for half of the estate. He didn't go squander it with prostitutes. He was there. He was loyal. What do we say about our friends? We want our friends to be loyal. This son loved his father and did everything he wanted and always obeyed his father. Let me tell you, I never obey my father. I really should, but I'm smarter. He's not here today, so we're okay. Don't tell him I said that. This son is so mad, and I would be too. I really would. If my brother did anything to hurt my mother, it's game. It's on. Because my mom is everything to me. We've been through a lot together. And if she welcomed him with open arms, I would be so mad. But what the son wasn't thinking is, he didn't put himself in the shoes of his father. His son has come home. Yes, he's done wrong, but this is my child, my love. He's come back to me. Church, we might have a relationship with God, but we got a ways to go. We still got to come back to him. We got to bring his church back to him. We got to bring the world back to him. And it is our job. It's our job to bring the world back to him. Not the person next to you. We are a team. That's why it is a church. That's why it's a congregation. That's why it's a family through Christ. We all have the responsibility. We might all have different skills. Because I couldn't do this every Sunday, but Pastor Phil can. We may not be able to clean a toilet as well as someone else. everything we do, we need to look at it to do for the glory of God. Maybe sometimes we see our sins to be worse than others. Has you ever thought of that? Me lying about something in the law's eyes is worse than me stealing something. But doesn't that person that's on death row deserve the grace of God as much as I do? What makes me better than someone else? Because he chose a different road than me? Because let me tell you, church, if there's someone that is on their deathbed, and right before they die, they give their heart to the Lord, they're going to heaven. They are. Even though they squandered and did prostitution or gambled and didn't live a life like I'm living, where I feel guilty for lying about something, I feel like I'm going to hell, they're going to heaven because they still gave their heart to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what grace is. Sometimes we forget that we were lost before. I was born and raised in church. My mother was born and raised in that church. My grandmother went to that church. My father was a deacon at that church. For all I know, I've been saved since I was 6 years old. I don't remember. I don't have a start date. But in high school, I still fell from God. I still had to give my life back to the Lord. I'll never forget, sophomore year, my parents were going through the divorce, and it was a Friday night before a football game. I was a tuba player. I was in the marching band. I was cool. I had the worst day at school. I'm doing horrible. My world is crumbling around me. My family's breaking. My girlfriend's driving me nuts. I don't know what to do. I'm broken. I'm hurt. I'm crying. My father won't talk to me. I don't know what to do. I go to church. And our stage is probably about this size, maybe a tad bigger, I'm not sure. But I came to this spot right here. And I'm crying. And I'm bowing down and I'm praying. I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. I haven't talked to you in a while. Lord, if you're real, I need you to speak to me now. I need you now. If I ever needed you, I need you now. I don't know what to do. My family is breaking apart. My brothers are fighting. My parents are fighting. For all I knew, the dog was dying. My world was breaking. And my tears just everywhere. I remember looking up. I didn't see anything. It's not like I seen Gabriel angel come down with his beautiful wings and bless me. But I remember a gush of wind knocked me right out. I fell to the floor. And I didn't have a dream or anything. I fell asleep. And I remember waking up and thinking that was the best rest I ever had. Because I strongly believe God was with me right there. God was holding me as I slept. He gave me peace. He gave me rest. I haven't had an experience like it yet. Again, I would love one because it was the best thing I ever felt. And I woke up just in time to get home, change, get to the school, put my uniform on, and be on the 50-yard line to open the game. We need to understand that God is a forgiving God. And we need to stop being jealous of other people's blessings. We need to appreciate our own. Let me tell you, God took a horrible situation something I pray I never go through again. But it's something that made me stronger. It's something that bad things happen, but God does not waste anything. My parents may have divorced, and my family may have crumbled. But without that, Hannah wouldn't have had an amazing stepmom. I wouldn't have had an amazing stepdad. I wouldn't have been able to go to Evangel University without their support. God has plans. And if something happens in that plan, because let me tell you, divorce is never in God's plan. Ever. But that happened, and God is so amazing that he took it and he grew from it. It's like a tree. If a limb breaks, something's going to grow back. Something bigger and better. I have a loving and supporting home again. I have a family that loves me. My brothers are amazing. We haven't been so close. We get in fights, and they're still my brothers. They may dislike me, but they're not going to get rid of me. That's just who I am. I don't go away. God is amazing. His love for us is amazing. We had a son that asked for everything that was his. I want it now. He left. He was gone. He wasn't coming back. He took all his iStuff, all his Macintosh. He squandered it away with gambling, prostitutes. I mean, if there was drugs back then, he probably did those too. He was having a good old time. He was buying a round of beer for everybody. He wasn't smart. He didn't invest it. He didn't become a real estate mogul and then become the president. He didn't do any of that. He squandered it. He had a gay old time. He broke. He hit rock bottom. He was feeding pigs, which I think would be fun because I love pigs. But he wanted to eat the pig food. That's disgusting. Have you ever even tasted dog food? Well, yes. My brothers were horrible to me growing up, okay? He wanted to eat this pig food. He went, he broke down, he said, I got a plan, I'm going to go to my father, see if he could save me even a little bit. Maybe he'll have, maybe just a little bit of compassion and let me be his servant, maybe his slave. At least slaves get fed. And he goes back and his father sees him far away. And he runs to him. God runs to his children. God wraps his arms around his children. God kisses his children. He gives his children crowns and says, well done, good and faithful servant. That is what I want to hear in my ear when I reach him. I want him to be proud of me. And I want him to be proud of you. And I want him to be proud of Hannah. And I want him to be proud of Keith and Kevin and Melissa and Tabitha and my nieces and nephews and my stepdad and my mom. Even my stepmom, I want her to hear it. Because God's compassion for us is amazing. He took this son that was dirt, complete and utter dirt, and still loved him. Don't be the brother that is jealous of him. Don't be the brother that is saying, look what I did. This was me, this was me, this was me. I did this. Look at my ministry. Look how big my worship team is. Look how big my church is. When you become that, you aren't living for God anymore. You're living for yourself. Don't live for yourself. Let me tell you, if you live for God, you're going to be happy. Same way if we look at people with money. these people that drive these really nice cars, these big houses, in-ground swimming pool, beautiful little Pomeranians carrying in their Louis Vuitton purse. It's okay to have nice things. Don't ever feel guilty for having a car with leather seats, Joy. What God has given you, God has blessed you. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. Because let me tell you, I'll never preach against a big church. I used to hate them. I used to think they're all about money. They don't care about people that they're helping. They just want to look at me. When I was at Evangel, I went to James River, one of the biggest churches in the nation. Oh my goodness, amazing. Why do I say that? Not because of the light show that they have, or not because of the amazing professional worship that they have, not that these singers can win American Idol if they wanted to. It's because you saw what they did in the community. You saw it. There was evidence. That's what we need to become, church. We need to let Talmadge, Ohio know that Bethel Church is here. Don't let this big monstrosity beside us cast a shadow. We're not going to hide because we're just as good as them because we're all God's children. So, I don't know if, have any of you ever heard of Shonda Pierce, a comedian? Oh, she's hilarious. She's my favorite. And I watch her on YouTube all the time. All the time. Do yourself a favor, go watch her. But she was telling this story that struck me in the feels. Her and her daughter were at a passion play. Have you ever been to Highway Tabernacle's passion play? If you haven't, you should go. It is so good. But it came to the part where Jesus and Barabbas were, how do I say this? Not getting judged, but they're getting decided upon. Who was released? This horrible, nasty scum of a person, Barabbas, or this innocent man that loved the world? Who was going to be crucified? They're in that part of the play. Pilate was asking, who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus? Barabbas or Jesus? And she said the crowd was, of course, cheering, Barabbas, Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus, give us Barabbas, we want him. And this little girl, 5 years old, had tears in her eyes. And she just kept hearing, Barabbas, Barabbas. And Pilate took his hands. He washed his hands of the situation. He said, it's your decision, not mine. His blood is not on my hands. It's on yours. And the people said, let the blood be on us. That's how bad they wanted to kill Jesus. That they were even going to take the credit. So they're screaming, Barabbas, Barabbas. And the little girl stands up on her chair and goes, Jesus! We want Jesus! And she said, all 3,000 people just looked right at him. Everybody. And Shonda said she was so embarrassed that she just grabbed her little girl and she ran out in the parking lot. She's like, what are you doing? And the little girl's crying. And she's going, why, Mom? This gets me choked up. Why? 5-year-old girl. Why would they do that to Jesus? Why would they do that to my precious Jesus? The Jesus that you taught me to love. And she said she looked at her. And she said, I don't know. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, they chose Barabbas. Who are you going to choose today, though? Are you going to choose Jesus and God, who will wrap his arms around you? Or will you choose the world? My Savior, your Savior, died on that tree for all of us. He took the whipping, the stabbing for me and you. He took that crown upon his head and bled for me and you. I cannot fathom the hurt and the pain that Jesus got for us, for my sin. When someone looks at you and says, I can't accept Jesus into my heart, I've done way too many things, you stop them right there, because that makes my Jesus look cheap. And that price was not cheap. It was not. You tell them that Jesus loves you. No matter what, no matter what you did, my God is bigger than your sin. Let me say that one more time, church. My God is bigger than your sin. And my sin. And my father's sin. And my father's father's sin. Because let me tell you something. My father's sin is not going to be mine. Because I am saved. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb that was crucified for me. And this little girl at 5 years old knew it. We must become like children if we want to enter the gates of heaven. Jesus said, let the children come to me. So I'm going to ask you to stand today as I close. And we are going to pray. And we are going to ask for our Savior's forgiveness. Even though we are saved, we still sinned. There is no once saved, always saved. A relationship doesn't end once that you're saved. A relationship is back and forth. A marriage is back and forth. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for what you did on that cross. God, come into our hearts and our homes. Send your Spirit upon this congregation. Let us stand up as one and grow into the people you want us to be. God, thank you for taking my punishment. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for running to me and throwing your arms around me and kissing me and loving me and putting a ring on my finger. God, I pray as Monday rolls around, Lord, that we remember to live like you. We understand that doesn't mean we're giving up our lives. We're giving our lives to you. That you will bring love to us. That you will bring happiness to us. That you will bring the riches of the world to us in heaven, God. Because heaven is not like earth. For there is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. God, I pray that we remember if we mess up, to come back to you. That we remember what we do is always covered in the blood. We just have to ask. God, we pray that you will make us better and help us learn and grow, God, not separately, but together, God. In your heavenly name, Lord, I bless this congregation, Lord. I bless these families, God. I bless families that are not here today, Lord. I pray for your blessing to come upon us and through us, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch every single person in this place, Lord. That it will go in and out of every aisle, God. That it will heal, Lord. That it will find financial situations. It will find solutions, God. Because you are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are our passion, God. Let us grow. God, I pray for your passion to grow within us, God. Set us on fire. Lead our hands and feet in our words, God. If we can't speak love, shut our mouths. God, we thank you, Lord. In your heavenly name, God, amen. You're officially dismissed. Thank you for coming.